Well, welcome back to another of our series of Sun City Shadow Hills podcasts. I'm your host, Bob Furring, and today we have a guest, an organization that I wasn't aware of before. Ben Gitron introduced me to this, and they are called the Coachella Valley Volunteers in Medicine. And my guest today is their executive director, Doug Morin. Doug, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Start from the beginning. Tell us about your organization.
So if we're going to start from the beginning, we need to go back into around like 2007 or so. And at that time, you got to think this was pre-Obamacare or Affordable Care Act, and the hospitals in particular, especially JFK Hospital at the eastern end of Coachella Valley, realized that a number of individuals that were presenting at their emergency department were really individuals who could be taken care of in a primary medical type of clinic. In other words, it wasn't an emergency, it wasn't even urgent type care, it was really ongoing medical, primary medical needs, the type of stuff that you and I, you know, go to the doctor, you know, when we don't feel well or we have our regular annual checkups, etc. And, of course, that was costing them all kinds of money to provide care to those patients. National Institutes of Health say that an ER visit ranges anywhere from about $1,200 to $12,000, depending on where you are in the country and what it's for. And these were people who really just needed to see a doctor, maybe get a prescription, maybe have their glucose levels tested or, you know, tracked, followed, that kind of thing. So it was a huge waste of financial resources for the hospital, but also for taxpayers. Because what would often happen is that those individuals, while they came in there, it would end up being the state that was ending up paying for those services. So they put together a task force, and out of that came a realization that, yes, there were indeed tens of thousands of individuals, if even approaching probably more than that, over 100,000 individuals here in the Coachella Valley who didn't have health care insurance. So they began to form an organization that later became Coachella Valley Volunteers in Medicine. We're a nonprofit organization. Volunteers in Medicine is actually a national alliance. It was created on the East Coast by a physician who was aware of a number of retired physicians who still wanted to practice, but they didn't want a job. They didn't, you know, but they were willing to work and they were wanting to help out. And so he created a Volunteers in Medicine clinic. This was in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And after that was successful and up and running, there was a great interest from other parts of the country for similar programs, and they were asked, can you help us set up ours? So he then went on to form the Volunteers in Medicine Alliance, of which we're a part of. And what that really means is that we provide basically whatever services we want, as long as it's primary care, and the services are provided by volunteer physicians and other clinical providers, and we can never charge for our services. So that means as a nonprofit organization, we're really relying on foundations and support from the community and then our own fundraising efforts. So that took a couple of years to get all in place, and we began seeing patients in 2010, and then in 2012, also during that two-year process, the county of Riverside built a clinic that sits on the corner of Avenue 48 and Jackson in Indio. It's a state-of-the-art clinic, and they built it for us, and we use it for our charitable purpose of providing primary medical and also dental care. And our criteria is really only two. You have to be a resident of Coachella Valley, and then you also have to meet some federal, you have to be at 200% of federal poverty guidelines. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of our history.
That's great. And how many physicians and dentists do you have working there?
So we have roughly about 80 volunteers who provide care on a monthly basis, and that would include all the volunteers. But if we just look at the providers, which would include physicians, dentists, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, that is probably around 15 to 20 individuals. And then we have nurses and medical assistants who support them, as well as the general office volunteers who help to see patients and do other things here in the clinic.
And how many patients would you estimate that you see every month?
Numbers of patients, you know, probably around, somewhere around 100 or so. We see about 300 visits, and that's usually what we look more closely at, is the numbers of visits.
That's great.
So 300 visits is roughly between 80 and about 120, depending on the month, number of patients, and probably about 50 new patients, 35 to 50 new patients each month as
well. Boy, that's great. So for people who want your service, how long is the wait to get in to see you?
Well, it really depends. It can be as short as just, you know, a day or 2 days, sometimes maybe even that same day, although we don't usually, for the most part, do drop-in clinics. But it would depend on if they've seen us before. In other words, are they a new patient or are they a returning patient? If they're a returning patient, we always save some room in our schedules for patients who are coming back for follow-up and, you know, returning to see the provider that they've already seen.
I see.
We really don't have a waiting list. The only reason I say that it could take, you know, could happen the same day, depending on who, you know, which physician or other provider was in the office that day. And if they're not, then when are they scheduled again? So if you called and you said you know you're diabetic, and because you used to have insurance, and you need to see a doctor about that. Well, there's no point in us scheduling you. You know, we want to schedule you with an internist. We want to schedule you with a provider that is going to be able to assist you with your diabetes. If you said that you had knee replacement surgery 2 years ago, and now you no longer have insurance and you can't afford to pay, but you need to see someone about that knee surgery, your knee is bothering you, there's no sense in us sending you to a family practice physician. We're going to schedule you to see one of our orthopedic docs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it depends. There's no hard and fast rule. For the most part, though, we don't see drop-in patients, although once in a while, depending on schedules, if someone comes in and the physician that's here that day or the nurse practitioner or whomever it is, they can see a new patient, then, you know, we'll be able to do that.
Wow. So how did you get involved in the organization?
So my background is actually social work, and I've always been involved in healthcare for all of my career in a variety of different ways, be it marketing, fundraising, or actual, you know, clinical, you know, side of social work. And I saw this opportunity and I was like, you know what, this is just, it's perfect. It was too good to, you know, to be true almost. It was like, here's a clinic that's providing no cost, no charge, medical and dental care to people who otherwise couldn't afford it and for whatever reason don't have insurance,
mm-hmm.
Or don't have access to service even if they have insurance. So it fit with my own personal philosophies about healthcare, and I'm pretty open about that. I'm not Canadian, but I used to live in Canada, and I certainly benefited from socialized healthcare in Canada while I was a student going to school there. And I understand, you know, the importance of that, and I felt comfortable with that. So it's something that I've always, it just feels right to me. I've always been fortunate that I've always had health insurance, but I know that there are a number of people, and through my clinical social work times and early on in my career when I was working in a hospital, I saw patients who didn't have health insurance, and they went without care until a crisis, you know, something tragic, you know, in a more of an emergency type of situation came about. And that's not, you know, that's not health maintenance. It's not health promotion, and it certainly is not health wellness.
Right. Well, that's most interesting. I'm sure that you could use more medically oriented people if, you know, anybody's listening to this podcast. But do you need volunteers who are not medically oriented also?
Oh, absolutely. We use volunteers in a whole bunch of different ways. And if we haven't, if somebody came to me and said, this is what I'd like to do, if that was a service that we needed, and I can't think of anything that, you know, any service that we didn't wouldn't need, we'll use them. Certainly, volunteer physicians, dentists, you know, those clinician-type positions, mm-hmm. those are important. And that really dictates how many patients we can see, because we have to have one of those clinicians to see the patient. So that certainly is there. But then there's all kinds of support volunteers. And support volunteers get involved in everything from actually working with the patients, and especially bilingual individuals with a healthcare background are especially nice, because they'll work as translators. But even, you know, individuals at the front desk to answer telephones, whether you're, you know, bilingual or not, that's definitely needed. And then, you know, even in other support capacities, we've got a lady that comes in on Friday mornings, and she's a yoga instructor, and she believes that yoga should be available to everyone. She believes it promotes health and wellness. So she comes in and she does a yoga class, a very moderate, almost more like stretching yoga class that's open not for only for our staff and volunteers, but also for our clients. And she does that as a volunteer. We use volunteers in fundraising. So whether it's an actual event that we've got going on, or scheduling, events that are coming forward, moving forward, health fairs. We're always being asked about to health fairs and participate in those sorts of things. That's another area that we utilize volunteers in. So it's really the whole spectrum, from contact with patients in a clinical way versus a non-clinical way versus assisting and helping out in the background in other ways and projects that we have going on.
I see. Well, thank you so much for sharing your message with us. I think that for our residents who have some time to volunteer, this would be a wonderful way to help your fellow man. And give us your contact information, please, so that if people are interested, they know how to get a hold of you.
Sure. They can call us directly at 760-342-4414. They can also go online to our website, which is the acronym for Coachella Valley Volunteers in Medicine. So it's www.cvvim.org. And there they can get a little bit of information about us. We're in the process of updating and upgrading that site as well. But they can also send an email to us from that site, just saying they're interested in volunteering, and we'll get back in touch with them. Or you can just email us directly at info@cvvim.org. There is a volunteer application on our website as well, so people can download that and fill it out. And pretty much every day we're open, Tuesday through Saturday, regular business hours. Someone can drop by, and there's usually somebody here that they'll, you know, be able to talk to, even get a tour of the clinic, which we welcome. And even if you decide not to volunteer, I think probably we're one of the most people don't know about us. We're one of the most I don't know how to phrase that, actually, but awareness of Coachella Valley Volunteers in Medicine, it's just not out there. So whether it's among physicians, other volunteers, whether it's among the community, just so many people don't know that we're here. So we welcome anyone to come by. We'll give you a tour. We'll show you what it is that we're actually doing here. And, you know, if you're interested in volunteering, we'll find something that piques your interest.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us. I hope that building the awareness is going to motivate some of our residents to get down and help. And I'd like to check back with you from time to time to see how you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and we'd certainly welcome that.
Okay. Well, thank you, listeners. Please, again, I'd love to hear comments on these podcasts. And so send in your podcast or your comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.